If you'll please take your Bibles at this time and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Our message series has been called Christian Home Fixer-Upper, and we've been looking together at what does the Bible say about Christian home and family. We started this series way back on Mother's Day, so we've been doing this for a while now, and since then we've looked at Christian marriage, we've looked at the role of husbands and wives, the role of mothers and fathers, the role of singles, the role of children, and then as well as the issue of spiritual mismatch in the home. And today's the last message in the series. I wanted to close things out by talking today about Christian hospitality. What is Christian hospitality and why should we practice it? A number of you like to collect the outlines, and if you've missed any of them, there are some packets out in the round table with all of the outlines together in one packet, and you're welcome to take one of those and do what you'd like with it. Either have it for your own reference or pass it on to someone else that it might be helpful to, but those are out on the round table. But let's begin now with our scripture reading, Romans 12. Will you please stand with me as we read God's word? Beginning at verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is God's holy word. Let us pray. Dear God, speak to us now through this word. Speak to us about the blessing and the responsibility of Christian hospitality. Help us see how we can serve you and others in this way. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So we've been talking about Christian home fixer-upper and the importance of God's design for a Christian home. And this morning I want us to see another reason why all of this is so important. Of course, we already know it's important for our own relationships within the home, for peace within the home, and for raising the next generation of believers, and it's important to follow God's instructions so that we may please Him. But there is another reason why God wants us to fix up our homes, and I mean, when I say that, I mean spiritually. I'm not talking about fixing them up physically, although that's a good thing too. But there's another reason why we practice Christian home fixer-upper, and that is so that we may provide Christian hospitality. When we work on our Christian homes, we don't do it just for ourselves, but rather we fix up our homes so that we may share them with others. Jesus said, "To whom much is given, much will be required." And so if God has blessed you with a Christian home, you have a responsibility to share that with others. Just as you are not saved for yourself, but in order to serve others, so also if God has given you the blessing of a Christian home, then he expects you to use it to be a blessing to others as well. Now, the passage we just read from Romans 12 is a passage about Christian love. And it tells us many ways that we show Christian love, but one of the ways we do this, one of the ways we show God's love is by practicing Christian hospitality. And I'd like you to take a look at verse 13 there, right at the end. It's in yellow. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And that word that's translated practice in that verse, in the original language, that is a very strong word. It actually means to pursue, to chase after. And so like one person chasing after another, we are to run hard after hospitality. It's something we are to eagerly seek, and we should work hard to make hospitality a meaningful part of our lives. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. God commands us to pursue hospitality. Now, hospitality was an important part of the culture back in biblical times. We read about an example of hospitality, Abraham, in Genesis 18 earlier in the service. But as Christian believers, for us, hospitality is not simply a cultural responsibility, it is also a spiritual responsibility. It is an extension of God's love that he has shown to us in Jesus Christ. And we have a spiritual responsibility to open up our hearts and our homes to other people. So this morning, the message is very simple. I'm going to share with you five reasons why we should practice Christian hospitality. They're all in your bulletin there if you want to follow along in the outline, the different scriptures, or to take notes. And then I'm going to give you 10 very practical ways that you can put this into practice, how you can practice Christian hospitality in your own home. But first, let's begin with the 5 reasons why we should do this to begin with. And the first reason is very simple. We should practice Christian hospitality because it blesses other people. And once again, God calls you to be a blessing. And what a blessing it is when we open up our hearts and our homes to other people. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. He said, when you give a luncheon or dinner, he said, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. And although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. In other words, hospitality is about what you can give to others. It's not about what you can get in return. Hebrews 13 says this. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers, and do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, that word entertain there doesn't mean to tell jokes or to sing a song or to amuse somebody. But it's a word which actually means to provide lodging or to receive someone as a guest. In other words, it means to provide hospitality. And Hebrews tells us there are people who have helped strangers out in this way, and they were actually helping angels without even knowing it. Abraham was one of those examples. Now, I'm sure many of us have entertained angels in the sense that we amuse them with our various antics throughout the day. I imagine I got angels laughing at me all day long with the mistakes that I make. But that's not what the Bible's talking about here. It's talking about hospitality. It's talking about being a blessing to others with the home that God has given you. So that's our first reason for practicing Christian hospitality. It blesses other people, and you should do it without any thought of how the other person can repay you. Number 2, second reason to practice Christian hospitality is because it strengthens Christian community. Now, if we go back to that verse, Romans 12, 13, we read this, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Now, we should be practicing hospitality towards all people, regardless of whether they are Christians or not. In fact, the Greek word for hospitality is actually a word which means love for strangers. So it's right there in the word itself. But even though we should practice hospitality towards all people, God's word especially singles out hospitality to other believers. Notice what, once again what verse 13 says, share with God's people who are in need. And so God's people are singled out because as Christians, we are family. And family is supposed to take care of each other. It's important to take care of others as well, but it would be wrong to neglect our family while taking care of others, right? And as Christians, we are family. God calls us as Christians to live in community with each other. In fact, Jesus said that it is our special love for each other as Christians that presents a witness to the world that Jesus really is who he said he was. Charity begins at home, and Christian hospitality begins at home too. It begins with the family of God. And when you have other Christians over to your home and they have you over to their home, what happens? We grow together in community, don't we? We get to know each other better. We learn what's going on in each other's lives so we're better able to help and to pray and support. And so the second reason why you should practice Christian hospitality is because it strengthens Christian community. A third reason is this, Christian hospitality opens doors for the gospel. It opens doors for the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul writes this. He says to the Thessalonians, he says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. So Paul and his friends didn't just share the gospel with the Thessalonians. They didn't just say, you know, here's the gospel, okay, done with you. Here's the gospel, okay, done with you. No, they shared the gospel, but they also shared their lives with them. And the most effective evangelism is when a Christian shares about Jesus with a friend. There's no better way to do it, folks. And one of the best ways to build friendships with other people is by sharing a meal with them or to have them over to your home. People will get to know you better when they spend time in your home, and you will build that friendship with them. Remember, one of the reasons God wants us to practice Christian home fixer-upper is so that our homes can be lights in our community. And we can shine the light and the love of Jesus Christ to our neighbors and to our friends. So yes, Christian hospitality begins with the people of God, but it should never end there. We need to look for ways to extend hospitality to those who do not know Jesus Christ yet. And who knows, maybe by inviting one of your friends into your home and providing that type of hospitality, perhaps through your friendship, God will bring that person to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So that's a third reason why we practice Christian hospitality. It opens doors for the gospel. The fourth reason is this: Christian hospitality reflects God's love for us. Now, the first three reasons we looked at so far are what I would call some of the practical reasons why we practice Christian hospitality. These next two reasons, 4 and 5, are what I would call the theological reasons. So you got practical and theological. They are both equally important. But this fourth reason is because it reflects God's love for us. That is theological. We read the following words in Psalm 23. This is a psalm of David. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23 is a very familiar psalm. It begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then it ends with these beautiful words about what? About God inviting you into his own home. God himself prepares a table for you. He anoints your head with oil. That was a common act of courtesy in biblical times. Similar to today, when you invite someone into your home, you say, "Can I get you something to drink? Would you like some water or something from the refrigerator?" He provides for you abundantly. That's symbolized by the cup, which is overflowing. God welcomes you into his home. He treats you as an honored guest, and he himself tends to your needs. And then, of course, God's love goes beyond just a temporary hospitality and a common courtesy. God not only invites you into his house as a guest, but then he invites you to stay as family, right? And that's why David ends the psalm by saying, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God's love follows you. It pursues you. Remember, we are told to pursue hospitality. God's love pursues you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in God's house forever. In the New Testament, this picture becomes even more beautiful because we find this table that God has prepared for us. This table he's prepared for us is none other than the table of our Lord. God invites us into his home because Jesus Christ offered up his body, which was broken, and his blood, which was shed on the cross for our sins. And so as we gather around the Lord's table later in this service, we'll be reminded of God's hospitality and preparing a table for us. If anyone ever pursued hospitality, it was God who pursued us, who sent his son to seek and to save that which was lost. We are called to be imitators of God, and so because God invites us into his home, we should invite others into our homes as well. So that's our fourth reason this morning. It's a theological reason. We practice Christian hospitality because it reflects God's love for us. And then the fifth reason is this: not only does Christian hospitality reflect God's love for us, but it also reflects our love for Jesus. It works both ways. Listen to these words of Jesus now from Matthew 25, beginning at verse 34. "Then the king is Jesus here, the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And so Christian hospitality not only reflects God's love for us, but it reflects our love for Jesus. When you feed the hungry, when you help the thirsty, when you welcome the stranger, or clothe the needy, yes, you are helping other people, but you are also showing your love for Jesus Christ as well. So why do we practice Christian hospitality? Five reasons. Blesses other people, strengthens Christian community, opens doors for the gospel, reflects God's love for us, and number five, it reflects our love for Jesus. So those are some of the reasons why we should do this. Now we want to look, how do we do it? We've looked at the why, now we want to look at the how. And I want to share with you 10 very practical ways that you can practice Christian hospitality in your own home. Now chances are you're not going to do all of these, but I hope that you will do some. Depending upon your personality, some are going to work better for you than others. Depending upon your season of life, some are going to work better than others. As I went through the list after I compiled it, I went through just out of curiosity. I found that Rosie and I had done all except the last two of these. And some we did at earlier stages in life, and some we've done at later stages. It's not an exhaustive list. There are other ways that you can practice hospitality. The purpose of this list is just to give you some ideas and to help you get started. All 10 of these are at the bottom of your outline, but let me share them with you right now. One way you can offer hospitality is to offer a special meal in your home. Offer special meals. And invite one or more people over and pull out your best china and cook up a special meal and make them feel like royalty. We've had people do this for Rosie and I and for our kids, and I tell you, you feel really good when someone treats you special like that. What a wonderful way to practice hospitality. Number two, offer ordinary meals. Because if the only time we do hospitality is when we have to really do something special and we've got to put everything together, man, we're not going to be doing it very often, are we? Unless we've got a lot of time on our hands. So invite people over for ordinary meals too. Grill up some hot dogs on the grill. You know, put out some bread and cold cuts, have people make sandwiches, order a pizza. The nice thing about ordinary meals is that you can be spontaneous. You don't need the fine china. You can just use paper plates. You know, Jesus said, even a cup of cold water will do. So, you know, on a Sunday morning, you might not even have been thinking about it. God could lay it on your heart. You might see someone and you say, you know what? You walk up to them and say, hey, how would you like to come over and have lunch with us today? Well, that'd be great. What are we having? I have no idea. We'll figure it out as we go, right? And that's that is hospitality. It is a beautiful thing when we welcome someone over to our home as a special guest for a special meal, but it is also a beautiful thing when we welcome someone into our home as family for an ordinary meal, and we just let our hair down, we don't care what the house looks like, we're family, and we share an ordinary meal together. Number three, host a small group or Bible study in your home, and this is just another great way to offer hospitality. Notice you don't actually have to lead the Bible study. You might not feel equipped or gifted to lead or teach that study. We have other people who can do that, but you might be willing to host a study in your home. Great way to offer hospitality. Number four, if you have kids, let your kids' friends hang out at your house. This is a great way to get to know your kids' friends. It's a great way to reach out to other families, and it's a great way to provide a safe place for them. Wouldn't it be great for both your kids and their friends to have a Christian home to hang out in? Well, they do. It's called your home. And so this is a way that you can practice hospitality. Number five, have people over to watch a movie or a game. Do you like to watch movies? Do you like to watch games? Well, other people do too. So invite someone over. Don't watch it by yourself. You know, you can't do it all the time, but from time to time, invite somebody over. Great way to offer hospitality. Number six, host a missionary for lodging or for a meal. From time to time, we have missionaries passing through and visiting with us at the church, and sometimes they're here for just a weekend, sometimes they're here longer. And they need They need places to stay, and they need meals to eat. And it's not only a wonderful way to practice hospitality, but you will be so blessed as you get to know these men and women who serve God and find out that they're really very ordinary people who just love Jesus and were just obedient to his call, as you learn more about their work on the field. And you will find that you will pray for them more during the year too, once you've gotten to know them this way. It's a win-win for everybody when you host a missionary for lodging or a meal. Number 7, provide temporary housing during a crisis. And sometimes an individual or family will have a crisis where they need emergency housing. And over the years, I've seen a number of people in our church family do this. They've reached out to others in different situations when there were an emergency, and they offered temporary housing, and you know, families got together and they worked it out. Wonderful way to practice hospitality. Number 8, host an international student. Jesus said to go into all the world to share the gospel, right? Well, we have an amazing opportunity here in our country right now where God is bringing people from all over the world into our own community. And he's doing that through international students. We have a lot of colleges in our area. It'd be very simple to simply call up a college and say, hey, we would like to host an international student. We'd like to help in some way, whether it's for a meal or whether it's for lodging. They'll get you in charge with their coordinator, whoever that may be, and they'll set you up. Wonderful way to practice hospitality. Okay, number 9, provide foster care. As we showed you on the video earlier in the service, there is a great need for foster care in our community. And so I would encourage all of you, ask God whether he might be calling you to open up your home in this way. It truly takes a special thing to open your heart and home to foster care, but there's a great need. And then on top of that, number 10 is adoption. And adoption, of course, is a very deep act of hospitality that mirrors God's love for us, God adopting us into his own family. When you adopt a child, you welcome them into your heart and into your home forever. So those are 10 practical ways that you can actually do all of this, that you can practice hospitality in your own homes. Once again, this list is just to get you started. There are other ways as well. God will probably not call you to do all 10 on the list, but he does call you to do some of them. He calls you to pursue hospitality. So that's the question I want to leave you with this morning. How is God calling you to pursue hospitality in your life? How will you pursue this? You don't want to just wait and see if it happens, but to pursue it means that you're intentional. You go after this. Remember, Christian Home Fixer Upper is not meant to fix up our homes just for ourselves, but God calls us to open up our hearts and our homes to other people. And you have the wonderful opportunity to be a blessing to others. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much that your word has given us all this guidance. For 8 weeks now, we've been looking in your word, wanting to know what you tell us about our homes and our families. And Lord, we've learned so much. And Lord, as we look at this final lesson today, Lord, I pray that you would indeed impress upon our hearts the importance of reaching out to others. Lord, help us to find the practical ways that match with who we are, our personalities, our situation in life. Lord, we can't do everything, but we can do some things. And so help us to do the things that you have called us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.